kick ass. Whoa, that's kick ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
The top of the morning to you, and welcome to the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face, Jennifer. Let me see you. A little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little boot in the body. That's right, a little kick in the rump, or as I like to call it, a little kick. In the arse. And oh my goodness, it's such a sunny day here. We're sitting on the deck and it's so pretty. And you're so pretty this morning, Jennifer. Aww, you smell all lovely, right, from the shower.
Fresh and clean.
Well, let's start off with a few fun facts. Do you realise there's no word in the English language that rhymes with the word month? That's like month, a calendar month. And the average lifespan of a Major League Baseball is only 7 pitches. Did you realise that Michael Jordan, this is important, Jennifer, listen up. Let me see your listening face. Michael Jordan makes more money from Nike annually than all the Nike factory workers in Malaysia combined.
Ay, ay, ay.
That's not so good, is it?
That's not so good.
All right. You know, a cow has to eat grass to produce milk because grass is a living organism. Maybe you should start eating those caterpillars, Jennifer.
No!
And the most common name in the entire world is Muhammad, of course, from our Muslim brothers and sisters. And the cigarette lighter was invented before the match. That's crazy.
What?
That's right.
That's nuts.
Something all complicated like a cigarette lighter. So that's Jennifer's nuts. Back with us. You know, she comes and goes. She's fleeting in and out of the Kick-Ass Life Show. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we've had a little bit of a challenging week. You know, we don't have many of them. But it's like from every direction there was challenges coming this week. I just kept saying to Jen, you know, Jen, don't focus on it. Let's not talk about it. Let's just keep focusing on what we want to get happen, and it'll all turn around. And then last night, she goes out to buy sheets, and they give her 60% off when it wasn't meant to get 60% off.
That's right.
And but it was lots of stuff happened this week. Lots of stuff that was challenging, frustrating. You know, you had to dig deep. It was like expensive in places. Things broke that shouldn't break. But anyway, it's been a great week, right?
That's right. We still got our health and
oh, don't say that. You sound like one of those old. You sound like one of those old people. Oh, we still have our health. All right, over to you, my dear. Don't give me that look. She's giving me a. She just gave me a filthy look. If look could kill, I'd be like dead.
Wow. Okay. So, our first question...
We should tell people, and this is their first show. This is Ask Dave.
Oh, Ask Dave!
Because he's always got an opinion.
So, our first question... Oh, I don't know who it's from.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Michael. We'll just make that up. I think it was Michael. Okay. That's because when you you put it in my private message box, and I forgot to transfer your name, so I do apologize. It's Mike, look. It's a...
Mike!
I was right.
So, question from Mike says, I work as a health and fitness coach. One of my clients is a wealthy husband. As a result, she lives a good life and doesn't need to work. She enjoys her life and is generally happy. However, she occasionally feels a slight nagging guilt at the life she has. Perhaps she feels unworthy or undeserving. I'm not sure. Sometimes she gets comments from others like, it's all right for you not having to work. It must be great to have your life. Words to that effect get to her. What advice would you give to this person? She's a good mother, does some volunteering, and has other creative hobbies. Any insight appreciated? Mike.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think that there's what people say is more about them than you. And people may say that. And a great answer would be, yeah, I feel the same way. I am very lucky. And so I always say that gratitude is the great equalizer. So if you're very privileged, and we often feel that way, where we feel like, oh my goodness, we have everything we want in our life. We're able to travel and live in beautiful homes and, you know, and do what we want. And so I think the great equalizer, Mike, is gratitude. It's just to really get up each morning and be really grateful for those things you've got. And when someone makes a comment like that, typically, you know, if it's a negative connotation to it. Well, it's all right for you, right? That says more about the person than it says about the person receiving it. And so for her, it's simply a real question of gratitude. She's already doing some of the right things. She's focused on her family and focused on contribution, so she's volunteering. And it's just a question of, it really doesn't matter what other people think. And, you know, each person on the Kick-Ass Live, I urge you to create wealth and be in a position where other people around you would be inspired by that. And the fact that, you know, when you talk about, you know, she has a wealthy husband, I will guarantee you that a wealthy husband is only wealthy when, I'm talking about complete wealth now. We're not talking about just financial wealth. But, you know, they have children, which means that she's obviously been engaged in raising the family, which is, I mean, if the guy wasn't doing that or was doing that, I'm telling you, the workload is massive for any woman raising a family or man. I mean, there's a lot of men right now staying at home, which is awesome. So I just think it's a real question of perspective. Perspective is she's very lucky. She's lucky in the sense that she has hopefully a happy home, and that she feels called to contribution, and that she puts family first. And I mean, how much money she has in the bank is not an indication of happiness or ease. There's a lot of very wealthy people. I have a really good friend who, the more money he makes, the harder it is for him, you know, because he worries about everything. And it's not, you know, so it's all about blueprints. So I'd say just focus on gratitudes and really don't ever worry about what other people say, because it says more about them than you. What do you think, Jen?
I think you've said it perfectly, but it's more about recognizing that those comments come from their perspective and not necessarily to take it personally. Okay, next question.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Heidi Fernandez. I love this question.
Heidi.
She says,
"Hi, Heidi.
My 12-year-old son wants to know how he can be like you, David.
Aww.
He wants to know what business or training he can start now to be successful. He's 12.
That's good. Well, I started when I was in that age. You know, do you want to pull our builder? Is just going to, I'll answer the question and you run. Our builder needs a question answered. So just let him know we're recording. Yeah, that's a great question. And 12 is a great age to be asking these questions. So business is what, you know, I mean, for a 12-year-old, there's a lot of very, very successful young people today, billionaires. I mean, I was just watching someone being interviewed who sold Tumblr, and, you know, he's 23. And so, you know, wealth today is something that is easily created in a young mind. But also happiness can be created in a young mind, and an understanding that the world exists for you. So depending, you know, what can you do? Well, it's immerse yourself in different environments that fascinate you. It's all about passion right now. It's not about making money. It's about discovering what you love. And when you discover what you love and discover, and there's the two most important days in your life, the day you were born, the day you discover why. And, you know, there's so many examples of young people who are voices for change. It's another great thing for a 12-year-old. If you can find your voice and there's something that's meaningful for you, when you stand in front of a grown-up audience, they melt, because they all wish that they'd had that insight when they were young. The fact you're asking the question tells me that there's a lot about you that is remarkable, that you want to, you know, that you really want to create something for yourself. But age is not a barrier either way, whether you're really old or really young. And for young people, it's actually, it's a powerful badge to wear, because you can open doors. 12-year-olds can go and tap on doors of CEOs and ask questions that a 30-year-old can't. Because a CEO is going to open a door to a 12-year-old and listen and try and help. So you have a lot of advantages. But really, about discovering your passions is trying lots of things, you know, understanding the world exists for you to play in, and that to really get out of your comfort zone a lot. And just sort of see if you can sort of stick handle your way to just sort of opening up the mysteries of your own life that fulfill you. So each day you go to bed full, and, you know, the money will come with passion. When you discover what you love, the money will come. As far as business advice, What I've said to my own sons is that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do in life, you're going to have to, if you want to be your own person, you're going to have to understand business. And so I urge them both to take a business degree, even though my youngest son is all about the arts and acting and guitar playing and dancing. I said, you know, at some point, even if you're a famous actor, then you're still going to have to manage the business of acting. And so, you know, I always say that having that foundational business piece is important. But, yeah, listening to the show, if this is what you listen to, in fact, I'm going to dedicate my show to you, young man. Did she say his name?
No.
Oh, she didn't say his name. But anyway, I'll dedicate the show to all 12-year-olds listening. How's that?
Speak to, you know, you always talk about with your kids, too, that they should look at getting a business degree, but you don't have a business degree.
No, I know. I mean, not that you need one, but the fact is that a lot of kids today, going to college and university is a bit, but for me, it wasn't ever an option. I think that, you know, it's really who you hang out with. I'm not a person that subscribes to the fact that you have to go to school, but if you're deciding to go to school and that's what you want, I would always say take a couple of years off and travel the world before you make that decision. But then whatever you want to do, having a business acumen, so reading books, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad's a great book with Robert Kiyosaki, and having all the Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker, and just understanding that you have already, your blueprint around money is already set, and you need to understand that it doesn't matter what you do in life. I could give you $1 million now, but if your blueprint is set for poverty, you're going to find a way to lose all that money. You're going to give it to the wrong person. You're going to waste it, whatever. But it depends what you're set for, and that's why some people's blueprint is set for wealth, but not happiness. And so, you know, you can have it all. So the most important thing for you, young man, is to know you can have it all.
So then as a young child, the best thing to do now is to start reading.
Like, well, reading, hanging out. I mean,
being around the right people.
But I also think that, you know, you're going to see the new frontier for a lot of young people is understanding networking. I do believe that, you know, there's a business of the 21st century. I know a lot of young people under the age of 16 who are already understanding that network marketing is one of the most viable vehicles because it gives them global freedom with the right company, of course. Global freedom. It gives them a culture of transformation. The number one investment that you can ever make is in yourself. So personal growth has to be a major part of your personal journey. Always living outside your comfort zone and pushing those comfort zones and not getting too comfortable. And then you get really comfortable being uncomfortable. In other words, that's your new comfort zone, is being uncomfortable, trying new things, experimenting with things, and, you know, traveling and being in the unknown. But that's going to be a new frontier we're going to see in the next 10 years because, you know, 80% of conventional businesses fail in the first 5 years because people simply lack the skills. So when we look at the data, there is a lot of self-made people that never went to school. But the thing they did that a lot of people didn't do is they surrounded themselves with people with the skills.
Awesome. Like the millionaire next door.
That's right.
This next question is actually very similar, but it's, I don't want to mispronounce your name. Jivan, maybe.
Jivan.
Yeah?
Jivan.
Oh.
I don't know. Jivan. Try and say the last name.
You're a man.
we completely screwed that up.
Sorry, we have slaughtered your name. He's asking, what is this, the one thing you haven't done or paid attention to back when you were in your 30s and you now strongly advise those young men and women to do? So I'm assuming he's in his 30s and... So,
well, you know, again, similar. I think, it's similar, but it's different in the sense that, you know, understanding, I suppose I understood it, but I couldn't articulate it. The importance of negative people around you is making sure that there are none. You know, if there are people that don't lift you up and you feel better around them, if they're dragging you down and making you less than, then you need to change that. So the environment is everything. So it's getting yourself in an environment of people who are like-minded, who want to dream, who want to, you know, they want to grow, they live a great life, they live a life of adventure and fun and possibility and friendship and truth. You know, all of my friends, you know, we don't hide things from each other. We know what's going on. If shit's happening, we talk about it. So, you know, that's one thing. And the other thing is to is to really understand that one thing is that what is it? That why were you born? And the only way you can discover that is to really understand that when you find it, you're going to live with such passion that when you get up out of bed each morning, you feel full already. There isn't something that's going to happen during the day that's going to make you more full. You're just going to get more and more rich with experience. So as a 30-year-old, again, environment critical, understanding that, you know, you're looking for that passion point that's going to open up for you the world of why you were born. And then, and truly, you know, I think investing in you as a primary person. So number one investment is you. Take 10% of your income, invest it in personal growth, into experiences that will grow you. And then lastly is to start investing in things for the long term. Don't invest in any get rich quick, nothing that's going to, you know, because that doesn't, if it sounds too good to be true, it always is. There are the exceptions, right? But there's just, you know, buy things long term. Think long term rather than short term. You know, if you're going to go in and try and make money, I mean, even in the markets, I mean, you can get really good at in the markets, and some people are really, really good at it. But for the average guy stepping in there and trying to buy today and sell tomorrow, it's an exhausting process. And it's a process that, you know, without lots and lots of years of skill, unless you have a mentor that can really help you. So I just say, you know, buy things and don't think about selling them. Just keep you know, growing your small empire. It doesn't matter what it is. And those are some of the things I didn't really understand at 30.
So staying on this topic of business, Eddie Weathers.
Hello, Eddie.
Eddie actually says, I have 4 to 5 ideas of business I would love to start. My issue has been focusing on one. What are some practices that I can use to focus this down and get started?
Well, you're very common with entrepreneurs is they're into everything. And, you know, I think that there's a number of questions you want to ask about a business. First of all, is it something you love to do? Is it something that's going to make you feel full? Because I always, you know, my concern is I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow, so I better make today count. And so that whole idea about living in the future, it doesn't, you know, I mean, I had friends who pass away or family members who pass away, and it comes from nowhere, right? One day you're there, the next day you're gone, like your friend Alfred the other week. So, you know, but the idea, though, is that, first of all, is a passion point. Second is, this could be your blueprint. Your blueprint is always going to be, there's something else, there's something else, there's something else. And, I mean, imagine if you were married, and every time a girl walked past, you were thinking, was she the one? Oh, maybe she's the one. Oh, look at her legs. Wow. That one's a really nice birdie, right? Imagine that's what you were like, right? I mean, imagine how your relationship would look. Well, your relationship with money and business is like that, is truly to find something that ignites you. And then you have to ask questions of business that make sense. Like, is it the time? Like, if you were selling VCRs today, you know, or cassettes, you know, or vinyl records, right? You just wouldn't do very well. So what's the market looking for? Now, we know the baby boomers are driving most of the buying behaviors in North America anyway. And so what are they looking for? So you want to have a business that first lights you up, and B, is something that people want. And that's why I don't like retail. I mean, retail just scares the crap out. I can't imagine sitting in a retail store. And again, I know a lot of you listen are, but waiting for people to come through the door and then having to be a marketing expert or having to drive sales. And I can't tell you how many people's dreams I've seen stolen by that very process of saying, oh, I want to own a dress store. But when you get in there, you're not actually selling dresses, you're managing a business. And managing a business takes certain skills. It comes back to the same thing. But as far as focus, yeah, choose one that ignites you, that really you think has a viable chance. And then look at who's the best in your industry, who's doing it the best, and copy what they're doing and then add some sauce. In other words, you can look out there. The success always leaves clues. Find out what the most successful people are doing and do more. And then create your own culture within your company, your own attitude towards it, so that there's something different about it.
What I love about Eddie's question is the importance of focus, right? Because you really do need to focus on one thing. But one of my lessons recently has been when I'm the same way, Eddie. I love so many different things. And when I try to do all of them and I'm not focusing on one, then I don't really do any of them very well.
Yeah.
That's been one of
my
biggest lessons.
Well, focus, I mean, there's a great saying. Was it find one, is F-O-C-U-S. But it's like find one something until success. You know, so focus is, you know, or focus on one, you know.
Oh, we'll have to look that one up.
Yeah,
we'll post
it's
it
something
on
like that. But it's, you know, that's where focus stands for until successful. You know, and that's really what it is. And guess what? What happens is if you're not moving closer to success, then success leaves clues. And so if you're not, then you have to change what you're doing. Not the business. Change how you're approaching it. Change how you're speaking to your customers until you start getting the success you want. Or if there really isn't a marketplace for it, then you have to ask yourself the question. Do you want to work, you know, 60, 80 hours a week for no money? And that's crazy. That was hilarious. We were recording outside and our phone overheated. So we had to move inside. So the sound's going to change slightly right now. So we're now sitting inside so that we're not overheating. And we'll just patch this sucker together. So Jen, you have another question?
All right, I hope this all makes sense. So our next question is from Ingrid Francis. She says, through your interviews, you've introduced me to so many kick-ass people who all share their own beliefs on how to live a kick-ass life. Can you recommend how one should sift through all this information and take what's right for me? Everyone utilizes so many different tools. How do you find the right fit without feeling overwhelmed?
Well, first we have to be careful of the brain. The brain's a real trickster. So suddenly we have the answers. Now the brain's saying, well, there's so many answers, you know, we're overwhelmed. And so it's always going to try and keep us stuck. But I think that, you know, just I always a great believer in just changing one thing at a time. You don't need to change everything, but you think of a big puzzle, right? And then you change one area, and that area impacts all the rest of the puzzle. I know, Jen, you have a sort of feeling around, you know, following some...
Yeah, I just find that, you know, after all my reading and learning, that you start to hear the same message over and over again. It's just articulated in different ways. So what I found is that I'll just follow the people that resonate with me. So I'll follow those teachers and leaders that I really enjoy. I enjoy their style or their personality or how they share the information. So then it narrows it down, and then I can really focus on somebody I love to follow.
Well, you know, and remember, we're not that bright, all of us people in this field. So, you know, we do, yeah. It's the same stuff regurgitated from, you know, yeah. Dale Carnegie and Napoleon Hill. Because exactly. There really isn't that many secrets to success. I mean, there can be nuances in specific areas. Like, you know, if you're having struggling in a relationship capacity, maybe that's your area of focus. If you're struggling in a financial capacity, maybe that's the area of focus right now. You know, if you're struggling with happiness, if you were just to focus on, you know, some of the stuff Jen teaches on her Happy Tude Facebook page, you know, then you can probably start noticing a significant difference in one area. So if we focus on one area, we'll see it ripple through all areas.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Our next question is similar, actually, but it comes from our friend Juana, who actually reached out to us several months ago. And she's asking, what advice would you have for someone who is in prison right now and has hopes and dreams for becoming a better person and wants to keep his sanity intact while he's in there? Any books that you think might help?
You know, first of all, we kind of know this person quite well, the person who's in jail. Because he'd reached out on the Kick-Ass Life. He's a regular listener, and I'd actually spoken to him on the telephone prior to him going to jail. I didn't know he was going to go to jail, so he's probably listening to this in jail. So we send our love to you.
So.
You know, but, you know, we all make mistakes, right? And there's a mistake been made here, and it's not like, you know, just to sort of alleviate the minds of people. It really doesn't matter what the mistake is. But, you know, when you're living in a country and you don't have the right paperwork, sometimes things can happen, right? And I've certainly been in that position myself where I've worked in countries where I wasn't permitted, and I could easily have been sitting in the same spot. So first of all, I think is just realizing this is part of your journey. There's lessons to be learned, and it doesn't matter what happens. You're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes every single day. And the question is not to focus on the circumstances. Yes, you're in jail. So is it what, time to write your book? I always think about that, you know. You know, so now you've got these months where you're sitting there. What are you sitting there, regretful? That's not going to help. The question is, so what books are there to read? Well, I mean, it depends, again, on what your passion is. I could tell you lots of books to read. I think, what about the one you're going to write? What about sort of writing down and looking at, you know, where you want to go with your life? And yeah, there's so many books, and I'm sure within the jail you can either read online or you'll read in the prison cell. So I'm not sure what you have access to. But I think there's so many stories of people who have bounced back. Martha Stewart went to jail. I mean, I imagine that. Martha Stewart, for those of you around the world, is like an icon in North America. And she's like, you know, thought of as like an angel. And here she is in jail for insider trading, you know. And there's so many, again, people who have done great things in the world, who've erred, and suddenly find themselves on the wrong side of the law through tax evasion or through different things. And, you know, I think that even those people that commit criminal acts that are, you know, unless you're in those shoes in that moment, it's so hard to, I don't judge anyone. So I think right now is, first of all, don't focus on the circumstances. So you're in jail. Again, and excuse my toughness here, but so what? All right. So get that one out of the way. Now what? How do you make the experience in jail? How do you impact the people around you? How do you impact the other inmates? How can someone meeting you make them want to change their life outside of jail? They'll say, you know, I met this guy in jail that changed everything for me. He was so positive and so light, so beautiful, so open, so kind, right? So that's it. You know, how do you then start contribution in your circumstances? Whether you're living in I think of those, you know, in some of the wars where, you know, prisoners were kept in some of the most horrific circumstances, like in Japan, you know, in swamps, underground, in cages with rats. How do you find inside of you that other place? Because that's what you're being challenged to do, is to find that inner strength, that inner guidance. And so I'd be meditating, I would be exercising, I would be writing, I would be reading, but not striving, because that can get us, you know, striving for the next thing. Be where you're at, you know, be in your body and connect with the people around you. Hear their stories, be inspired and impacted by them, you know. And I think that there's obviously a challenge you're in, but, you know, when we compare it with a lot of challenges around the world, you know, in the end of the day, it's going to be part of your story. It won't be a great big deal, but you're going to have a great story. I spent a few months in jail or a couple of years in jail. I mean, you're not sure quite yet how long you're going to be in there. And I know this sounds glib, but I, you know, again, having spoken to you specifically, I really am speaking to all the other prisoners that are out there right now, is, you know, our circumstances do not define our future. Our circumstances are only where we find ourselves based on who we were when we that led us to this moment. Who we become in this moment is everything. We can rewrite a new chapter. And you know what? The world loves comeback stories. The world loves stories of people who were in massive adversity, that did great wrongs and found their path. And, you know, that's what you're in right now. You're finding your path. But then impact the path you're in. Stop wishing you were somewhere else right now. Be where you're at, you know, and impact where you're at. And then that action, that connection, that openness, I promise you, will help open doors for the next chapter.
Mm. Can I just share a quick little story?
Yeah.
We have time?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I have a very good friend of mine that I met when I was living in Australia, and her son actually did something a little silly when he was young that he ended up going to prison for. And he spent several years in prison. And what's so amazing about his story is that while he was there, he journaled and he wrote about his experience, and he was reading and expanding himself while he was in that situation. And his parents were incredibly supportive. I know his mom left Australia and moved to be near him. And you've got to understand that the reason he was in prison was known all over Australia. Everybody knew what he did. It was broadcasted all over the country, and everyone was ridiculing him for what he did, him and his friend. And so this could have been a stage in his life where he was devastated, and it could have really broke him. But when he was finally released from prison, he actually did a TV, he was interviewed on TV to set the story straight, and his journals that he wrote while he was in prison has now been published, and he learned from his experience and has stepped into a totally new place in his life now and is incredibly successful. And I think it's a place he never would have ended up if this incident hadn't have happened in his life. So I think he's a good example. We should have him on the show, honey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have very long left. Okay. Do you have one more question? Good luck in there anyway.
We miss
you and love you. I think that's...
Is that it?
We have... you know what? You mentioned meditation to practice in prison. We had a question about meditation. Let me just find it here. I'm so sorry.
She's been drinking. What can I say?
Got thrown off with all of our technical difficulties. Oh, I've lost
do,
it.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, I can't remember who asked the question, but I can remember what it was. It was about meditation, and they were curious about how you've mentioned on the show that you used to practice meditation and how you practice when you were young, and she's curious if you still practice and if you find it helpful.
Yeah, I do. I do it in a different way, though. I do it, I think, on a daily basis. I do. It's not as conscious as you may sort of think. I don't sit cross-legged, you know, with my thumbs and middle finger sort of together chanting or anything like that. But I think that's very beautiful. And it's certainly something that Jen and I are committing to do more of, is to spend time in meditation. But what I do is early, I wake up very, very early in the morning. I normally go to bed quite late, but I normally wake up. And when the house is completely quiet, that's when I quiet my mind. And it's normally before I get up, before there's any other distractions.
And this is an important point, that meditation doesn't have to be on your meditation cushion in front of your, you know, in your little meditation cave, sitting cross-legged. It can be in bed before you even get out.
Standing at a bus stop, it can be anywhere. And it doesn't have to be a long period of time. But the question is really that connection to self. In saying that, I just looking at the time there, young lady.
Time to go?
It's time to say goodbye.
Aww.
Just relax.
But
take it easy. Yeah, well, we're done here. But listen, guys, thanks for the questions. Keep asking them. Hey, just remember, if you want to support the show, we have a new button on the site, thekickasslife.com, where you can donate a little cash if you want. That would just help us keep the doors open.
Thanks to you who have already donated. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, very, very much, guys. Thank you so much. Anyway, we're going to what? Are you going to finalize it?
What's going on? We will see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.